Welcome to Voice Rising with Kara Johnstad. Enjoy weekly conversations with leading luminaries, pioneering visionaries, singers, poets, musicians, and sound healers as we explore the profound role our voice plays on the path to self-realization and global enlightenment. The internationally acclaimed singer, composer, author, healer, recording artist, voice expert, creator of Voice Your Essence, and founder of the School of Voice, Kara Johnstad, uses her extraordinary spiritual gifts to empower others. Everything in this world vibrates. Everything has a frequency. A pioneer in the field of voice work and transformational songwriting, her breakthrough methods are helping thousands of people worldwide fine-tune their body-mind-spirit system and unlock the energetic frequencies of limitless creativity, health, and abundance. Share your voice, ask your questions, join in the conversation. Receive life-changing, positive transformation and rise together to create a sound world. And here's your host, Kara Johnstad.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Voice Rising. And today it's all about voicing dreams and manifesting miracles. What role does our voice play in shifting old paradigms and awakening to a life of vibrant, pure presence? And there's no one better to explore with us these bigger questions of meaning than the internationally renowned best-selling author, speaker, accomplished musician and composer, and president and publisher of New World Library, Mark Allen. Mark uses all of his vibrational layers of the voice to bring his wisdom and visionary messages to our world. He has written numerous books, including The Greatest Secret of All, Visionary Business, The Millionaire Course, and The Type Z Guide to Success, and his most recent book, The Magical Path, Creating the Life of Your Dreams and a World That Works for All, is filled with short, simple practices that have been proven to help thousands of people make wonderful changes in their lives. So, Mark, I warmly welcome you to the show today, and I'm excited to dive with you into all these big questions I have for you.
Oh, thank you, Kara. Thank you so much. I really appreciate your show. It's wonderful.
Yeah. So let's dig in. I've been reading lots of your books. I've been listening to your music because besides being an accomplished author, so you're the voice man, basically. You're working in all these different layers of voice, which we're going to discover in, hopefully in this conversation. A lot of people, they think that the voice is only, they think of it as the speaking voice or the writer's voice, but there are so many layers to voice work. And just share with me, let's start in a very easy place. What was one of your childhood memories where you had an aha experience of, wow, this is powerful magic, this thing of being creative and being in flow, connected to the imagination?
Oh, yes. Oh, what a great question. I love your show because it takes me to unusual places. So many interviews I'm doing the same answers. This is a brand new, wonderful one. I do remember one of my peak experiences, and I really just count three peak experiences, really, that were totally beyond words, completely ecstatic. One, when I was 5 years old, just wandering alone into a church and gazing on a candle that my mother said was an eternal candle. And I thought, I took it literally. I thought that meant that candle burned, had burned eternally and will continue eternally. Right. And I had this sense of the eternal. But then when I was 16, it was singing Bach. We had a great high school choir, 101 voices, and a great director. He was a powerful baritone singer. He sang opera. And he kept saying, there's rock in Bach. And he had us singing Bach so full out that during a performance, and I can still remember what we were singing. We were singing All Breathing Life, where the bass starts, oh, and then the tenor comes in, oh, and it went on and on like that with the voices weaving in and out, altos coming in, sopranos, and everybody's singing full out like that, all those 16th notes, singing full out. Yeah. And the whole tapestry becomes one. And suddenly, the only way I can express it is I was singing with the choir, and suddenly it felt like the sound went from mono to this huge quadraphonic sound, all like it expanded.
Wow.
And I had this amazing feeling, just this rush of energy from head to toe. And I remember feeling like I could shout, or like I was shouting. And whatever I did would be just perfect. I felt like I could scream. And
excellent.
It just was, you know, the glorious joy of Bach made me realize Bach's music. Those pipe organs were huge and loud, and they'd be in these vaulted churches, and he'd even have a choir of hundreds of voices split on each side, way up on the sides of the churches in choir lofts. So the sound must have been as loud as rock and roll, and it must have been awesome. And my choir director knew that, and we were so loud, and it was so powerful. I had this transcendent experience and just realized life is absolutely magical. Every moment of it is, and there are some great composers that can really bring us there.
Yeah, I think that's mind-blowing or body-blowing. I don't know. I've had those moments too as a singer. And I think for me what fascinates me so much is that, similar to how breath is connecting us around the world, right? That the power of song also, that we can hear one beginning melody and we know the song, and when we start singing the song, we can also become one body of consciousness, also the audience, right? So that it has this really magical ability, vibration and voice, and to go from the point of one to the point of everyone that comes back to the point of one, which sounds very crazy, but I know what I'm talking about.
Yes,
it's like we're everybody, and yet we're one in that oneness of all, in that oneness of the moment. And it's it is. I love that. Mm-hmm. You did give me a very unexpected answer, because I've been really digging into a lot of interviews you've given, and that's precious. I can imagine that really shaped your path. Right? I know that you studied theater, and I didn't know you were singing. I didn't know that. You've been keeping that a secret from the press out there. I didn't know so much about your singing. But I do think that it's interesting to explore today this idea that the voice is on many layers, right? So we have our first inkling of an idea, of a thought, and then we start identification, and then we have our belief systems. We have the spoken word, which then expands into conversations. We have the written word. We have books. We have, of course, what we just heard, this magnificent idea of the singing voice or a composer's voice. We have all these voices, and we also have the collective voice, right? So with all this tapestry of voice, this web or the stream of consciousness, which is connected to our voice at all times, 24/7, in every single human being on earth, what role do you believe that our voice plays in shifting old paradigms and awakening to a vibrant life of pure presence?
Oh yes, what a wonderful question. I know, years ago I discovered this ancient game from India called Leela, the game of life. Mm-hmm. And we play a game called Chutes and Ladders that sort of devolved from there, because Chutes and Ladders is just this little children's game. Well, the original Indian game has eight levels, and they're the eight levels of consciousness. They go through the seven chakras of the human body, and then the eighth is beyond. And in the center of the eighth level is cosmic consciousness, and we start in cosmic consciousness, and you put a ring or something in that. There's like 64 to each of the eight levels, has eight different squares, and each square is a is a state of consciousness. So we start in the center of the eighth in cosmic consciousness, which embraces all of it, right? And then we just roll a single die, you know, a singular of dice, a single die. And we keep rolling until we stay in cosmic consciousness until we roll a six. And when we roll a six, we go down to the first level of consciousness, the lowest level. The sixth square is called delusion. And we're born into this delusion, into this illusion that we're this separate being, separated from everyone else, alone and isolated in delusion. And then we keep rolling the dice, and it's like chutes and ladders, and we hit certain swords, and we soar up. And then, but after we soar, we can get bit by a snake and go back down. And so on the second level of consciousness, which gets up into the sensual things, and there's music. One of the squares is music and sound. And you hit that square, and it shoots you up to one of the highest levels of consciousness. So they knew thousands of years ago that just music, really hearing music, takes you to this wonderfully high level of consciousness. And then you go just beyond that. You can get bit by the snake of pride, for instance.
Wow.
Like a lot of high spiritual leaders can be bit by the snake of pride, and then, bam, you're way back down to the first level again. You're starting all over. But music shoots you up there. It's instantaneous. And I think that's totally true. Whatever the music is, when you really hear music, all your other thoughts go, doubts and fears goes, even maybe the illusion that we're separate goes.
Yeah, I always like to play with this. You know, I love words, and I love to play with this at one and atone, right? Just moving a couple of letters, and you just feel. And as a singer, of course, I know that. And I think also, even if you're not a singer, when we're in a tone, a pure tone, we're at one with that tone. There is no future. There's no past. We're in the sound, and that's where we have this sound mind, sound body experience, right? That we're just one with everything that is, right? But that's that game is excellent. I think it's interesting too, if you think of eight layers of consciousness, we also have, of course, the cosmic octave, right? So we do have eight within music. And
right,
if you know, I mean, you're a pianist. I saw you have a lot of albums out there. And if if you put your finger on the root of a chord and you count eight half steps, you also get the fifth, which is basically. So we have the eight all over the place, right? So we have the and eight as infinity. So I would love to play that game with you someday. If I'm ever in San Francisco Bay Area, maybe I can have the privilege to.
Yes. Oh, if you're ever around, let me know. Yes.
Yeah.
That would be
so
fun.
The crazy thing is, it's true that our voice is the only instrument connected to our bloodstream. And we can play the sax and we can buy the pianos and we can do all this stuff, but our voice is guiding us. It's with us 24/7, and you are working a lot supporting other authors and also aligning and realigning and recreating your own life and your own work for this world, manifesting your dream through voice work, right? So what can we understand through this idea that thoughts and feelings are the key to love, freedom, and fulfillment? So thoughts, you know, is on top, feelings, we have the heart, the voice is smack in the middle. All the books that you have published and that you have personally written are integrating thought and feeling, thought and feeling, thought and feeling. Pops out in the voice. We call it, you know, books, but it's actually voice work. Keys to love, freedom, and fulfillment. What can we understand by that? Unification.
Yes, I get into this in The Magical Path, my most recent book, quite a bit, where our body really is the tree of life. I love that image from the Kabbalah, where You know, you could say, they say the tree of life is the whole universe, and it's also just mirrored in our body. The roots of the tree are in heaven. It's like the tree is upside down because our roots are in heaven. Our roots are beyond us, above us in the entire universe. And then as the tree comes down through our bodies, it gets denser and denser and denser. So the very first impulses we have, the very first connections and things are all spiritual and very, very fine, a very high level of being. And then it filters down into our level of thought. And the impulse of creation goes from a spiritual impulse to a thought. And then it comes down more into our bodies. And from our minds, it does. It comes into our voice then, and it becomes a sound. It becomes more concrete than just a thought. When we express something in words, it's far more concrete or denser. They often use the word denser. A spiritual impulse is very high and light. A thought is very still ephemeral. They come and go quickly, quickly. But then you put it in words or even music. I love that you've added music into your work so much. I hadn't reflected on it in the ways you have. It's wonderful what you bring to it. Makes me think about all kinds of new wonderful things. But in Magical Path, I think of how the spoken word then makes a thought far more concrete, far more concrete. And we bring it into our bodies. Then we really bring it down even through our hands and into the written word, and we have a concrete piece of paper there that we've actually written something on. Is far more concrete than a thought. So I really do think the process of creation can be seen very simply. And the older I get, the simpler I see it. It's very simple. I had thoughts, I had intimations when I was younger, in my 20s, that it might really be simple. I had those few experiences. Part of me came to these simple realizations. But then part of my mind would say, oh, no, it's far more complicated than that. You're really dealing with the subconscious mind and all the complexities of blah, 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 and all this programming of doubts and fears. And my mind would talk me out of thinking that it was simple. But now as I've gotten older, I've realized, no, it is incredibly simple. The whole process of creation, creating anything in our lives, we take that thought and we bring it into our bodies and we express it through our voice, and then we bring it into our hearts. And as long as we have a focused, clear thought and we stay loving it, we stay in our hearts with it, it will manifest in our lives. What happens in our minds and in our hearts, it can get scattered. In our minds, it can get complicated. We can get overwhelmed with details if we're trying to create something like the career of our dreams or whatever. Initially, we've had a wonderful idea that we love. That's where we start. And as long as we can keep focused on that idea with love, we will be shown how to just manifest it. But if we get distracted with in our minds, or even then in our emotions, we can get off track and get sidetracked and not reach our destination.
So let's
the wonderful analogy of a plane flying. A plane is off course over 95% of the time, but the pilot keeps correcting over and over. And when I heard that, I thought, that's the story of my life. And I realized that's it in totally simple terms. When we dare to dream and we get a clear, inspired thought of what we want to do and be and have in our lives, and then when that is totally in alignment with our heart, so we get heart and mind together, it matters.
And then we voice it.
And we voice it. Yes.
That's right. Here we go, Mark. We're going into a station break. Hold your amazing thoughts. I'm excited. We're going to be back in a couple minutes and talking more about the power of voice.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
With happy clients all over the world, Kara Johnstad knows that your voice is the missing link to more authenticity, abundance, creativity, and health. An internationally acclaimed voice expert, Kara's breakthrough methods have helped thousands of people successfully heal their voice wounds and extinguish the story of self-doubt and shyness forever. Join in group trainings, attend online sessions, schedule one-on-one time, and invite Kara to work with your organization and community. Get started today. Go to www.karajohnstad.com and receive a special guided meditation designed to fine-tune your inner voice and welcome you on the voice journey.
Hi, this is recording artist and composer Yuval Ron, inviting you to a voyage through the chakras, a new double album of guided meditations to transform your life, a sublime musical medicine for nourishing inner peace and reaching to your higher virtues. Get it now at metamindfulnessmusic.com, M-E-T-T-A, mindfulnessmusic.com.
How's the basketball court all wet?
Because the players kept dribbling on it.
The dad joke. Corny, groan-worthy, but also one of the simplest ways to share a moment with your kids.
What did the buffalo say when he dropped his son off for school?
Bye, son.
So take a moment to make your kid laugh, because dad jokes rule. Make your kid laugh today. Go to fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hi, everybody. This is Kara Johnstad, and I'm back in the studio with my guest, Mark Allen, talking about the power of voice and what it can do and how it can support us to shift old paradigms and awaken to a life of pure presence. And we just left off with I thought was an incredibly beautiful image of the tree of life being rooted in heaven. And that touched me deeply because as a singer, what many people don't know is that our instrument is not an outward movement on the exhale, but it's actually created by a vortex motion, which is a still point on, how can I say this, as the inhale creates a movement that goes in towards our heart. And this is how the muscles of the voice work. And a lot of people miss that great opportunity to come into full resonance and full tone because they're so used to taking in an inhale and pushing it out into the world that they miss that small moment where spirit is literally asked to be pulled into the body. And what you were talking about before the break is really that those fine layers are being materialized, being embodied into what I always say is things that matter, right? We're creating matter, but we should be creating matter with things that matter, right? We don't need a lot of junk in our world. So let's, if the word is it matters, let's make the matter matter. And okay, you might think I'm a little bit mad hat here, but anyway, so I thank you.
Beautiful, Carl. That is beautifully put. I was just telling the singers, and it's so true that most people, when they start to sing, all they're just singing right from their throat, or speaking right from their throat. And I was telling them, no, you sing from your whole body. Your whole body is aligned. You sing from the soles of your feet, and it ends up opening the top of your head. The whole tree of life is
absolutely. Yeah, but what if you flip that? What if you flip that, Mark? This is an interesting thing. What if you sang from the top of your head and it ended up opening the soles of your feet?
Yes. And that's what happens. Definitely. Yes. And I know you know then as a singer, those moments in music where suddenly you're not doing anything. It's all absolutely beyond you and just like flowing through you. It's just...
It is. No, it's magical because the people really literally do not understand that the vocal folds are a ring muscle that are leading towards the heart. So the ring muscle is, there's a suction happening that's going towards the heart. It's literally created that way. That's a physical truth. And what people often think about is only open, close, open, close, open, close, or I need to breathe in and then sing. But actually what we're doing is it's a paradox, because what we're doing is we're emptying from the air, but we're filling with sound, we're filling with consciousness, we're filling, we're emptying so that we can be full of spirit, of beauty, and then give from that place. And that's why I so much love this idea. I don't know why. I need to read your last book, Mark, I confess. I never thought of the Tree of Life being rooted in heaven. I've seen the Tree of Life hundreds of times in print, and I'm always thinking of a beautiful tree. And my inspiration always came from similar to lotus moments, you know, that the tree is rooted in darkness and striving towards the heaven. But this idea of the tree being rooted in heaven just created a beautiful shift inside of me.
Yes.
So I thank you for that.
It contains the four levels of being that every tradition I've ever studied talked about. It's in Buddhism, it's in Hinduism, it's in Kabbalah. So for the top of the Tree of Life, the very, you know, it all starts in the absolute void that encompasses the entire universe, of course, and then somehow within that void, on the highest spiritual level, the one comes into place. Mm-hmm. And that then divides into the two, the Sephiroth, the stages of the Tree of Life. And so the highest level is all spiritual. And then those three get mirrored down into the mental planes of life, and creation becomes a thought. Then those three Sephiroth get mirrored down into the emotional levels of life, because we're spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical beings. And it's all there then in the Tree of Life. At the very top, the spiritual goes down mental through our minds and then gets into emotional. And that does start at the throat and heart and then the whole solar plexus. And then finally comes into absolute material being, physical material being. And that is the seemingly magical and completely mysterious. We'll never understand how it works, but the process of creation. It does start with a spiritual impulse, then becomes an idea. And when that idea then gets focused with pure emotion of love behind it, and doesn't get distracted with frustration or anxiety or doubts or fears, then that idea manifests. It seems magical. I went from an absolute poverty case to a multimillionaire. just understanding that process and not working too hard. I'm into success with ease. Part of my experiment was I want to be very successful, but I love musicians' hours. I was a musician in my 20s full time, and you never did anything before 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I love those hours.
Right.
I never was a morning person, you know. So that became my experiment to see if I really could manifest a very successful company, but yet sleep in as late as I want. And I just saw, as long as I kept that clear idea focused with love, everything worked. And then we had our problems when I'd get distracted or this problem would come up that seemed intractable or whatever, and I'd get sidetracked into anxiety, frustration, and then things wouldn't work. But then when I got back, I remembered, oh, I'm here because I love writing. I love publishing. I love books. It's all based on love. We publish the authors we love. And as long as we stay there and have that love behind everything we do, our company is wonderfully successful. I've noticed that with authors, too. I mean, this is just an interesting little book. I just texted this author about this, where I have noticed if, as long as the authors and us as publishers work beautifully together and keep loving each other, as long as there's no problem, then the book does well. But if there gets to be some kind of problem, in a few cases over the years with all the books we've done, there have been cases of like some resentment has come in from the author, or even some frustration on our part with like the author isn't doing what he or she said. And if there gets to be this kind of stuff going on, it affects book sales. The book sales plummet. And so I even just said in an email, my job is to keep loving these authors and to keep making sure that they're happy with what we're doing and that we're working together in a real win-win partnership here.
That's
and resolving any conflict.
Right?
That's my job, to resolve every bit of conflict. Because it's like when we're creating anything, we want to resolve the frustration within us because that's the problem. Any doubt or fear or frustration, that's the work we need to resolve in order for that effortless creation to happen.
I think that's so touching also as somebody who is a creator herself or for me, because often, you know, these are our loves. The books that we write, the albums that we produce, these are works of love. These songs and these words, and you know, I actually had it written here, like if you think of how we're fine-tuning our body, mind, spirit system when we sit down to write that book, or for me also, and for you to compose music, right? We're tuning and tuning and putting, you know, putting the words here and there and moving them around, and you know, it then goes, I mean, I've experienced this and you know, have an album coming up. It's like then goes from that process to that final edit, and then it gets a cover, and then it goes into boxes, and then it takes a journey around the world and goes onto shelves. And then that Mark Allen book or a New World Publishing book, it literally gets taken from a curious bystander who wants to have a good book, maybe doesn't even know yet the books, right? It gets taken into a bag, and then that bag gets taken home, and then they literally take you to bed, or they take you to the kitchen table, or they take you to their easy chair and put on a lamp, maybe they light a candle, and your thoughts that were aligned with love and spirit become part, now this is the crazy stuff, of their life, of their body, of their choices, of their voice, of their decisions. I mean, this is so epically expansive. I mean, what does it feel to be a part of so many people's lives transforming on that cellular level because you chose to align your thoughts and heart with your voice and give that as a gift to the world?
What a wonderful way to put it. It reminds me of Beethoven. Beethoven said, from the heart it has sprung, to the heart it will penetrate. Mm. And that's true. That's true. The reader picks up exactly on the consciousness of the writer and where it came from. So I can't read Stephen King. He's too good a writer. Or in college, I made the mistake of reading Samuel Beckett novels, who wrote Waiting for Godot. Never, right. ever read a Samuel Beckett novel, because he's such a brilliant writer. He gets you in the mind of these guys. They're always guys. Everything that happens spirals into absurdity, totally senseless, meaningless absurdity.
And then you doubt.
He's so powerful that when I put his novel down, I ended up experiencing that. Then for the next year or so, I experienced this total absurd reality that brought me to just total depression. And it was the worst years of my life, right at the end of college. Fortunately, then I followed my girlfriend first I was in a theater company that got into yoga, and that's where I met my girlfriend. And then that company fell apart, and I followed her into a Zen center. And I spent almost 6 months meditating, and that realigned my whole body. I could, it rewired everything, and that absurdity just dissolved. And my Zen teacher, an old Japanese man, said, you know, these writers like Beckett and the absurdists, they understood Buddha's first teaching that, yes, life is suffering. Or as I saw it translated so beautifully on a T-shirt in Berkeley, it was a guy had a T-shirt that had big black letters, said, life is a bitch and then you die. I said, okay, that's Buddha's first truth. But fortunately, there's three other great truths beyond that, that we don't have to suffer. We can find a state of mind beyond suffering. Thank God. Thank Buddha. And that's what I learned at the Zen Center. After I left that, I realized years later, all my depression had vanished and a whole lot of my anxiety just from pure meditation sitting there. And then I was able to get back into my music. I had all kinds of music I wrote after the Zen Center experience.
Beautiful. Hold your thought, Mark. We're going into another station break, and we're going to be back with Mark Allen.
Conscious lifestyle to your world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Hi, this is New Age Grammy winner Paul Avgerinos. Thanks for listening to Om Times Radio, and please support my peaceful healing music with a purchase at iTunes, Amazon, or wherever you shop for fine music. Just put my name into the search engine, Paul Avgerinos, A, V like Victor, G like George, E-R-I-N-O-S. You can also visit me at roundskymusic.com. Thanks for listening, and I'm wishing you the brightest of blessings.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Oh, here we are back with Mark Allen in studio talking about everything, talking about voice, talking about vibrational frequency, talking about the power that one book has to change the world. And so this is my next question, Mark. The voice is a catalyst, it's a healer, it's a divine spark. And just like fire, it can ignite, it can arouse, it can light up people's minds and hearts. And just like a fire, it can destroy, it can divide, it can hurt. It's that powerful. And knowing how powerful each of our voices are, because you are a writer, you're a composer, you are a publisher, and knowing, you know this, that one book that's not aligned with love, one book can... one conversation even, and even one song can radically change our world. Which tone quality do you nurture in your own voice before you mix it with the air and share it with the imagination of millions of people?
Interesting. I've never even thought of it that way. All I know is that I do... keep returning to silence. Keep returning to a place of no thought, and then seeing what arises from there. I feel so blessed to have been able to publish The Power of Now, my favorite book of all time. And I once asked Eckhart why he thought his book was so successful, and he just smiled and said, all he knew was that he waited to write each sentence until it came from presence. And I thought that was so insightful because, of course, by presence, that's what he means, is that silence, that place beyond thought, deep within us. He also calls being, the Zen teachings call the same thing samadhi. He translates Zen to the West beautifully. And his work, he said a very interesting thing, too. He started writing the book on the west coast of the U.S. and then went back to England. And he spent months there and he couldn't write a word in England. Then he came back to the U.S. and actually then went up to Canada, Vancouver, and he finished it in Vancouver. And he said there's just something about the U.S. and especially the west coast, he felt, because he was there, but... that allowed him to get into presence more easily. And in England, he couldn't find enough presence to write the book, which was very interesting.
Every landscape probably has a certain alignment with our, you know, with our history,
it
with our
does.
Ancestors. And so maybe.
Yes. And I think, yes, and we all have a unique place that we resonate with. And it's wonderful to find that place to live that your soul really resonates and your whole body.
I mean, if
I
you
know
think
people,
of...
you know, who love where they live, and then people that don't,
yeah,
and the people that
exactly.
don't, I really encourage them move, find that place to live that you wake up in the morning and just take a deep breath and say, I love it here. That gets you into that alignment with the love within you that really helps you manifest what you want in life.
I mean, if we flip up the letters of silent, right, we have the word listen. Do you think that your longing for laziness or ease, as you call it, and now you were talking about how the silence helps you slip back into that space of creativity, do you think that's actually a longing for a deep listening of our inner voice, of our inner vibration, that helps you be in the, now we have echoed in the game, the here and now, that our ears have to do with
yes.
the here, being here.
I've never heard that about silent. Silent and listen have the same letters, you said?
Yeah, silent, well, you think about it.
Oh, that's wonderful. And yes, I think that's been part of, I'd say that's the nobler side of why I want a life of ease. But and definitely part of it is I have whole days, I have blocks of hours every day where I have nothing to do. So I do end up listening, and I end up hearing, and I end up writing and singing and playing music. And yes, that's the fount of creativity comes from when I'm silent. And then on the lower level, I just love being lazy. I love sleeping in. I never was a morning person, and I love not working that hard. I don't think life should be, and it doesn't have to be, a 40, 50 hour week of work. We come from a workaholic type A culture, and right. we don't have to buy into it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people don't realize, they think of the voice as only being the, you know, the larynx and the throat, but the ears are part of that voice chakra, part of the fifth chakra.
Oh, yeah.
So that,
right.
And
right,
I,
right.
and I, and I learned something very beautiful, which is going to, you know, you might know it, but you might know it, not know it, but the ears not only receive, so that's this receptivity that leads us to these higher creative states, but they're also singing. So the ears are emitting tones. You know, the newest science say that the ears themselves are emitting tones, which is for me such a beautiful idea that even when we are in meditation, our ears are singing. They're emitting tones, and these tones can be, I'm in German, gemessen, these tones can be, what's the word I'm looking for, Mark, read my mind, they can be registered on equipment, right? So they, even as small babies, they can really see how many frequencies, what's the frequency being taken in to the brain, and what is the frequency being emitted into the world. So our ears are giving off constant signals to the outer world, which I think is so beautiful. As a singer, I think that's very beautiful because it helps us with that alignment process when we're speaking and when we're singing, to remember our beautiful ears and not to get too far ahead, to stay in our body and in that deep listening place, which is a place you seem to be very at home in, listening to your inner voice. Yeah.
Definitely good singing does involve listening. And I tell bad singers, you know, they're not listening to themselves.
Right.
They're flat. They're not hearing. If they just pay more, just listen to themselves. What I think real bad singers, it's the same with bad writers. What happens is they start to sing, and the inner critic pops right up there in the mind. Oh,
right.
That isn't very good. And so suddenly that inner critic, they're hearing that inner critic louder than they're hearing their own voice.
Right.
If they just get rid of that inner critic, just say, go, get out of here. And if they just listen, they can hear, that's flat. Oh, if I take it up, then it harmonizes with, you know, then I'm right in tune. And writing, too, I always tell people, you know, every writer, you sit down and you write a first sentence, the inner critic says, that's a terrible first sentence. And so you have to say, get out of here, inner critic. Go.
Right.
Go. I knew one woman that her image was she locked up the inner critic behind her, you know. And to me, I like kick him out of the room. And then you say, I'll invite you back once I've got like 20 pages. Then you can come back and be a really good editor. I'll really use your discriminating wisdom. But for now, get out of here, because I just need to get in touch with the creator, and that's what comes out of silence, and your noise in my head can block that. So leave.
Many people don't realize that there are good editors, right? There are really good people that are just passionate about being that very good editor. And then there are other people that are just in deep flow with truth, and they need a good editor, but it doesn't have to be themselves.
Right.
That's
right,
what I've decided.
Right. Yeah,
I don't need to be an editor.
I love editing. I love editing. My inner
even your
critic,
own
just,
things? Even your
yeah,
own
even
words?
Yeah, even my own things.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, first I write something and then put it aside for a couple weeks. And then bring in my inner critic and say, okay, go to it. And my inner critic just loves it. I really enjoy editing other people's work, too. And, you know, a while ago I edited our version of the Bhagavad Gita. It was so wonderful. I mean, I was actually up in Vancouver. We were recording The Power of Now with Eckhart during the day. And then at night, I'd go back to my beautiful hotel, the waterfront, and I was editing Bhagavad Gita. And I'd just get up and walk around in stunned saying, what an incredible career I've created for myself. Just recording Eckhart and hearing The Power of Now all day, and then at night going, sitting for hours with the Bhagavad Gita,
right?
Editing it, refining it, shaping the English, and my inner critic loves editing.
Wow! Can I read a poem of yours that I adore?
Oh, sure.
Okay, the poem goes like this. This poem, everybody, is from Mark Allen. To live in a land where your soul sings and your heart knows as home. It may or not be the land of your parents, but it's the land you love more than any other place on this precious, sparkling planet. It's the land that opens your heart, the vistas, the air, the light that heals you and makes you rejoice in being alive. I love that poem, Mark.
Thank you.
Where your soul sings. That's a little bit like what we were saying before, is that everybody has a place that really deeply resonates with them, where their soul comes alive, where they feel that they're in resonance with the frequency of the earth or with their community, with their friends, right?
Yes. I've known some people that for them that's New York City. They just love New York City. Others love L.A. To me, they're both sort of a hell on earth. I do not enjoy that intense urban environment for long. I do for a couple of days. It's fine for a couple of days. Then I want to get out and see green fields and green trees and earth and nature. But to each their own.
To each their own, and that's good. Because if everybody loved that same little spot on the earth, it would be very crowded where we are.
Yes.
Right? I mean, let the people that love New York City stay in New York City.
Yeah, 8 million of them, let them be there. It's wonderful.
So, Mark, we're coming close to the end. So you use the power of voice to heal with all your books and your music, and now I'm so curious, and all your singing. I'm gonna check out all your singing songs.
Oh, good. I just on my Facebook page put a 10-minute little mini movie of my spiritual album. I've got one, a spiritual vocal album, and another romantic one.
Is that the Seeds?
Called Seeds, the spiritual Seeds. The romantic is called Evening Song.
Oh, nice.
And it's on. You can get a sample of it then on my Facebook page, or now on markallen.com. You can sample all the music.
Oh, yeah, that's very good.
Stuff.
Very good. Markallen.com. I mean, your own books and compositions and all the books that you're publishing, that's what I get from what I've looked at and what I've read and listening to you speak. It's all in this aligned space, connected to the heart and helping people to reach their full potential. And what I think is awesome, release fear and guardedness and open up to a life of full presence. And this is an amazing thought, because if we release that armoring and that fear, we have a massive amount of energy available for quantum change, right? To really to give to be in a land where, which I love the line of, you know, the land where the soul sings. Of course, I love that land, that line, a land where the soul sings. So if you had one message for the world, and I know you have many messages because you brought out so many books, you have thousands of messages. But what is a thought? One thought, we're at the beginning of a new year. What is one thought that you would love to give the audience and the people that they could take with them? One golden nugget.
We've been saying it, and I think I keep getting back to the same thing, but just dare to dream of what you love, and keep that focused thought in mind, and keep your heart behind it, and keep coming back to that. I had such troubles with my company. I remember sitting down at one point when we were nearly bankrupt in the beginning, and we just got a new book back from the publisher, and I just held it because I take the books when they come back, I mean from the printer. When they come back from the printer, I fondle them. I take them off.
Nice.
I close my door. I fondle it, and I think about all the work that went into it, and all the writing and all the editing and all the type design and all the cover art, and I fondle it. And I remember sitting there holding this book saying, I love this. I'm going to keep doing it forever. So do what you love. That's all I'll say.
Forever and ever and ever. Thank you so much, Mark Allen, for being with me here at Voice Rising, and wishing you continued success, beauty,
thank you,
everything
Cara,
you desire.
Same to you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.